Hi, welcome to everyone who's listening online today. My name is Ed Travers. I'm the teaching pastor at our campus in Westerville. Grateful to have you listening online. This Sunday is a very big Sunday for us here at LifePoint. At all of our campuses, we are launching our life groups. We believe that life is done better together, and we want you to know that if you're at home today and you want to get connected, we would love for you to check out our information online about life groups and get connected this week. Also, today, we are going to be taking communion, so take a second and pause the video and find something that you can use for elements. It's not important what you have as much as the heart behind what we're doing today. So take a second to grab those, and then let's get started. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together, to listen to your word, to worship together. We pray, Lord, that you would use it to grow us, to be closer to you, and we ask that in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been enjoying on social media this past week the 10-year challenge that people have been posting, pictures of what they look like 10 years ago and what they look like now. And so I was digging through some pictures and I put together a little 10-year challenge of my own for you guys with myself and my two daughters. Here's a picture of what we were like 10 years ago and today. So that was super fun. They're obviously, they look much older. And my wife said to me last night, she says, you know, Ed, you look way older. I think ministry is aging you. I said, thank you? Anyway, my brother, as I was kind of scrolling through social media, I saw one that my brother had put up, which I thought was really appropriate. Here's a picture of what that looks like. I think I've had a lot of fun listening to, you know, and watching these things online. We're actually in a series today that we started last week called Built to Last, where we're talking about how, as blueprints, shape buildings, our core values frame our faith. Here at LifePoint, we have five core values. They're used in the acronym GRASP to think of something you want to get a hold of. The G stands for gospel identity, which is what we talked about last week, how the gospel is the very nature of who we are because we are new in Christ. The gospel is now our identity. This week, we're looking at reaching priority. Then we'll have authentic community and then spiritual intimacy and personal ministry. Those are the five core values. And what we're saying about these core values is that they really do frame our faith. They give us a foundation for our faith. It's not exhaustive. There are many things about our faith, but those five are certainly the core of who we want every believer to be. And sometimes as life goes on, we have a tendency to drift away from our faith, and we need to recalibrate and come back to the studs, if you will, and keep make sure that the foundation of our faith is strong. And so this week, we're looking at reaching priority. Here's what we say about reaching priority, is that we are missionaries. It comes from Acts 1:8 and Matthew 28, 19, and 20, where it talks about how we are to be his witnesses, to go therefore and make disciples among all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will come on us and we'll be able to share. As he said to them before Jesus entered into heaven and left his disciples, he said, look, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, which will come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. That means we are missions. We are given a mission from the Lord, and all of us are missionaries. There's no one who better represents reaching priority in Scripture than the Apostle Paul. This is a man who lived his life as a missionary, not only sharing the gospel with so many, but planting churches and writing letters that we still have today. We're going to look at one of those letters today that I think will help us understand the core value, reaching priority. The problem, though, is it's really easy that when we read about Paul and look at his life, it's easy to dismiss what he did from what we do, because he was special, right? He's an apostle. He met the risen Christ. He was there at the foundation of the church and knew the other apostles. And sometimes it's easy to say, well, for us, I mean, I'm not like Paul. I'm not going to, you know, be a missionary like him. And then I think we have another problem, and that is that you and I, when we think of missionary, there's probably images that come into our mind, maybe people we've known or people we've heard of, and usually they are people that have studied another language, they've gone overseas, and they share about Jesus with a different people group. And we think of those people as missionaries. And then it's hard for us to see ourselves as a missionary because we're not like Paul, and we don't speak a foreign language and go to share Christ in a foreign land. But I assure you, in the very same way that they're missionaries, we are missionaries all the same. Just how it plays out is a little bit different. And I hope that, kind of like that picture that my brother had, that, you know, he 10 years ago could easily thread the needle between the eye of his fish hook, and now he can't, that unless you're clear about things, it's going to be very difficult to play them out in your life. And so I hope that by looking at this passage we look at today, that through the words of the Apostle Paul and by the Holy Spirit, things will become more clear for us as to what it means to be a missionary. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 10. This is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul. And the first thing I want to share with you is this, is that Paul was very clear about the message. In the first 9 chapters that Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he lays out a case for the gospel. How that you and I and religious people and people who are not religious, all people have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And no matter what our upbringing is, no matter how moral we are, at the core of us, we still sin, and that sin has separated us from God. But Christ came to set us free from sin, to set us free from religion, to set us free from anything that holds us back from God, that because of his blood shed on the cross, that paves the way to set us free and wash away our sins and make us right with the Father. And over the 9 chapters, he spells it out and makes it very clear. And then he culminates here in chapter 10, verse 9 through 11. Here's what he says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, when I say Paul was very clear about the message, here's the message of the missionary. It's right there in verse 9. The message that we share is, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means you have to recognize who Jesus is and that he is of authority, that he has the right to really condemn you because of sin, but yet he chooses to save you from your sin. And because of that, we give him our life as he gives us his life, that transference that he sacrificed for us. That is the beauty of the gospel, that we can be set free. We could be made new in God, but we had to have a gospel identity. That message is very clear. If there's ever a verse to be memorized, it's verse 9. And then it says that, you know, it's with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's one of the things that's important. If you ever come to a service in Westerville, at the end of every service, I'll share the gospel and I'll give people an opportunity to respond. And at the end, I always ask people to raise their hand. And here's why. Because confession is public declaration. And we believe that public declaration is a very important thing because it says so here in Scripture. It's important to God. And that first step of public declaration, we believe, is just raising your hand saying, yes, I want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord today. And we also do public baptisms on a regular basis at our church. And here's why. We do those publicly because it's a public confession, a declaration of the faith that's happened in you, that Jesus Christ is your Lord. We believe those are imperative and important for all believers. We believe that everyone should be baptized that's a follower of Christ. We have baptisms on a regular basis. We have one coming up at the end of January, and I just want to remind you that you could do that. If you want to start a conversation about that, you can respond, and I'll explain that at the end. But I just want to let you know, that's why we do these things. The message, though, is very clear, that Jesus Christ is Lord. You believe that in your heart. You confess it with your mouth. Everyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. That's the message. I think the problem, though, is us as missionaries, oftentimes what I've found with people is when they're trying to share the message, they confuse the message. A lot of times they turn it into a lecture or an argument about behaviors. They turn it into an argument about certain, you know, things that people should believe. And sometimes I watch people, and I've even myself found myself trying to almost convince them of certain things. And you realize sharing the gospel, the message of the gospel, is not an argument. It's not an argument to be won. It's simply a message to be shared. And we can't confuse that. We can't try to correct people's behavior. That is not our job. Our job is to point them to their need for Jesus. That Jesus Christ died for all people. And I just want to say that because I think it's important. And I think that Paul was so convinced of the message, he was so clear about it because he was so convinced of who Jesus was. I remember I have a brother who he's 2 years older than me, and he lived his life in addiction for about 10 years of his life. And in his... And at the kind of the end of his addiction, he came to a point where he realized that Jesus Christ needed to be his Lord, and he gave his life to follow Christ. During those 10 years, I remember spending time with him and sharing the gospel with him and talking with him and praying for him and giving up and praying for him and giving up. But Jesus so transformed his life. I got to watch the power of the gospel in someone else, not just me. I got to watch my brother become transformed. And he, you know, over the course of the first 6 months of him becoming a believer, everything about his life changed. And we were having a conversation one time, and he said to me, he says, "You know what, Eddie? I don't know anybody who wouldn't benefit from knowing Jesus." Now, I want you to think about that for a second. In his mind, he's experiencing Jesus for the first time, and he's being transformed by the gospel. And he's looking around going, everybody needs this. And I think we have to remind ourselves that the message is about Jesus, that we need him in our lives. Not behavior corrections or certain behavior. I mean, we need Jesus. When you're convinced of that, the message is very clear. It's about helping people to know Jesus. The second thing that Paul makes clear here is that he was very clear about our mission. The message is the gospel, and our mission really comes next. If you pick up in verse 13, here's what it says. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I love that verse. Verse 14, it starts our mission. It says, "How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" What he's doing is he's asking rhetorical questions, but he's explaining the mission of every believer. If you go backwards through the passage, here's what it says, that we are to be sent to do what? We are sent to preach a message. What's the message? It's the gospel, Romans 10:9, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's our message. So we are sent to share the message. Why? So that people will hear the message. And if they hear the message, they might believe. And if they believe, some will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. That is our mission. I think most people, this is where they kind of struggle. And I've felt this myself, but most people struggle because they know in their heart, if you follow Christ, if you've been transformed by Christ, you can't help but look at other people and think, man, they need to know this message. They need to know the good news that they can be set free, not only for eternity, but for now, that your life just has such more purpose. And with Holy Spirit in your life, it just changes you from the inside out. But sometimes we think, I want to share the message, but we get intimidated, right? I think there's a lot of fears that come up for people when they want to share their faith or share the message of the gospel. I was thinking of just a few. One of the fears that we have is rejection, that people will just simply reject us. That there's a fear that we'll have a lack of knowledge, that somehow that this person's going to ask a question, we won't be able to answer the question, and then we won't represent Christ well. Another fear I've heard is that I just don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to bring it up, so I'm just not going to say anything. And another fear I've heard is just the awkwardness, that what happens if they don't like the message? What happens if they, you know, if it turns into an argument and it becomes awkward? And you know, all four of those things I mentioned, there's some legitimacy to all of those. They are fears. Here's what I would say to you. If your heart is set on helping people to know Jesus, you can figure out answers to all of those. There are so many things online. If you hit Google, there are so many materials and so many resources online to help you get over your fears, ways to share. I mean, I'll give you a little one. When I'm talking to people about Jesus, I simply ask questions. Hey, what has your journey of faith been like? Hey, let me ask you something. What do you think about Jesus? Have you thought about what happens after you die? Look, if you just ask some simple questions, people will talk. If you ask them about what they think or what they believe, literally people will just start sharing. And sometimes they'll say to you, what do you think? And it will give you an opportunity to share. But spend most of your time listening. That's just a little tip from me to you. But the truth is there are so many different ways, and God uses all of our personalities differently, but he wants to use us to be on mission. Can I just share with you something? You know, imagine you've got your kids. Maybe you've got three kids, right? And you go into, you know, a public park And you know, your kids say, "Hey, we're gonna go check out the trails." And so you're sitting there with your spouse, and you're just kind of relaxing in the beautiful sunshine. And you go out, and the kids go out into the trails. And you know, it's getting later, and they didn't come back on time. And then it's getting dark, and only one of your kids comes out. Let me ask you something: what would you do? What would you do? Maybe you're afraid of the dark. Maybe you're afraid of what goes on in the forest at night. You know what you would do? Whatever it took. It wouldn't be about your fears. You would overcome your fears to do whatever it takes to go in and find your two other kids. You see, that's the heart of Christ. That he had 99 sheep. He had 99, but one was missing. And so he left the 99 to get the one. Why? Because the one was so valuable to him. You know, all of our LifePoint campuses are doing really well. And we're going to open up two new LifePoint campuses this year. So excited about what God is going to do in Marion and in Plain City. And all of our campuses are growing, and you know, we just had our largest attended service on Christmas Eve just a few weeks ago. And maybe you think to yourself, well, when is it big enough? Maybe you like a smaller church. You'd like the intimacy of a smaller church. Listen, I totally understand. But here's the deal. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people all around us that haven't heard the message of Jesus in such a way that they're willing to embrace it yet. And as long as those people breathe, it is on us to partner with what God is doing to reach those people, because we are missionaries. In Westerville alone, 3 out of 4 people that you meet do not know the Lord. This is something that weighs on us, that we are God's representatives. We are his missionaries to reach them. And so we have to overcome our fears. So listen, we know the message. We know that we're missionaries. And lastly, Paul was very clear about the priority. This is an interesting verse. The end of verse 15 says this: "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." Now, I love this verse. For one thing, my wife says to me that I don't have pretty feet. And I tell her, I think you're wrong. And I have proof. But what Paul is saying there is how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. He's not talking about feet. He's talking about the action, that what they are doing, their mission, that as they are going forward to share the news of Jesus, that's beautiful. Something is beautiful when it's doing exactly what God made it to do. For example, you might say when you hear a musician or a singer put together the most perfect song, and you say, man, that is beautiful. You see a painter paint something, and you're like, wow, that is beautiful. Or maybe, you know, you're a sports fan like I am, and you see a quarterback drop back, and the pocket's collapsing on him, and he throws a perfect spiral 40 yards down the field between two defenders, and just at the last minute, the receiver goes up and gets it and sprints into the end zone. And you're like, that's beautiful. We look at things that we see that are just amazing to us, and we say, that's beautiful. And Paul's saying, beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The word preach there just simply means proclaim, to share, to teach something, that when we share the message, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, when he was talking about spiritual warfare, he talked about armor that we can put on. And he talked about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And he talked about the breastplate of righteousness. But he also talked about shoes. Here's what he said in verse 15 of chapter 6. He says, "Shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." That look, if you're going to move forward, you need shoes on. If you're in battle, you need shoes, right? You don't want to go step on a rock. Like, you need shoes. And the shoes that we wear are the gospel of peace. That which brings peace between God and man. The gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, him as Lord, and what he did on the cross. And we should be ready. And listen, you can't be ready unless it's a priority. It has to be a priority in your life. Paul was very clear about the priority. And I will say this, that you will never experience God to the level that God wants for you until you partner with him on the mission of the gospel. That's why we have the name LifePoint, that we draw life from God in the gospel. That's what gives us life. We become new in Christ because of the gospel. But we join with God in pointing others to Christ. That's the Great Commission. That we are all missionaries. That we are, if we've been impacted by the cross, then we are representatives of the cross. That's the message. I will say this, that I have met people that when they start sharing their faith with others, they come back and they always say to me, "You're not going to believe. I was able to share things I never even have thought about in the past." That's because the Holy Spirit is right there with you, helping you in those conversations. Sometimes people give their life to Christ, and you get to witness that. Oftentimes, you're just planting seeds. No one is a project. Our goal is not to convert people. Our goal is to share the message and allow God to do his work in people. Our goal is to love them. And the most loving thing we can do for anyone is to share the message of the gospel. Can I tell you a story about a friend of mine that really embodies the core value of reaching priority? It's about a friend of mine named Caleb. And I've known Caleb like 15 years. He's in his mid-30s now. When I met him, here's what his life was like. I met him after this moment, but he was raised in church. He knew the message of the gospel. When he got to be a teenager, he kind of started going out on his own and getting a different group of friends and kind of experimenting in the world and thinking that's what was going to bring him satisfaction. And so he dabbled and then he dove in. And one night he found himself in the back of a dance club, not a reputable dance club. He's in the back of the dance club with a drug dealer. And there's a bunch of ladies half-dressed wandering around, and there's cocaine everywhere. He said he felt like he had an out-of-body experience that night. He's looking at his life and going, "This can't be my life. This cannot be what God wants." And so the next day, he decided he's going to find a church, and he's going to follow Jesus. And so I met him just after that. He came to my church at the time, and I got to watch him grow in his faith. I got to watch him become transformed by the gospel. And over time, he just started to grow in such a way that he was able to influence others for Christ. And he and I helped co-lead a life group at one point. Now he's older. We got to catch up just a few weeks ago. We were spending some time drinking coffee together. And he's married now. He has two little kids. And he said he had just a career milestone recently. He graduated college. He didn't take the traditional route. He took his time. And, you know, later in life, he just kept going class by class by class so that he could pay it off. And he was working a job as a manager of a local coffee shop. And they kind of helped him with school, and they paid him enough money to kind of live as he was going through school. And he recently graduated. I said, "Man, congratulations, buddy. I'm so excited for you. What are you going to do?" Because now this degree really qualifies him to get, you know, a better job than just being a coffee shop manager. Like, he could, you know, he could make more money and do something. I said, "What are you going to do?" And he says, "Well, I have a lot of options." I said, "Okay." He says, "Well, I could go and get a job in my field that I've just graduated in." I said, "Is that what you want?" He goes, "I don't think long-term, no." I said, "So what are you thinking about?" He goes, "Well, if I go to school for another year, I could get my master's and become a teacher. And that's really appealing to me. And then I could also go back to maybe a Bible college and get my ministry degree. I could go that route." I said, "So what are you thinking?" He goes, "Well, the thing is, what's really driving me right now is my company, they want to keep me. They pay me well, so it takes care of my family right now. It's certainly, you know, it's not like the long-term goal. Like, why go to school and stay as a manager of this coffee shop?" He said, "But I have so many relationships here right now. God has opened so many doors to share the gospel with these people I'm working with." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Ed, you know, most of the people that work here, they do not live a lifestyle that would represent Scripture. And I've got so many people who are in transition, you know, gender transition, right here at my store. And here's the thing, Ed, they look at me almost paternally because I'm the oldest guy here. And I listen to them. I talk to them. And here's what you're going to find in these people's lives. The brokenness is the root of all of their lives. All the people and what's going on in their life, they are literally, they can feel that brokenness and they think this is a thing or this is a thing or this is a thing that's going to heal that brokenness. And it never works. And I've had so many opportunities, not only to listen to them, but to share the gospel with them. And so if I stay for another year, it gives me more opportunity to continue to share with them." And he said, "You know, I go to church in a community where everyone's pretty well-to-do. And I think a lot of them, you know, it's kind of intimidating because they're like, you know, what do you do?" And I say, "Well, I'm a coffee shop manager." And there's that pull to want to, like, to get a better job and to move up the corporate ladder. And he said something I don't ever want to forget. What he said floored me in the moment. Here's what he said. He said, "Ed, most people spend their lives preparing for the last 10 years of their life here. But I'm preparing for 10,000 years in eternity. Man, and I thought, isn't that true? For him, the priority is, how do I be used by God now? How do I allow my life to be leveraged on behalf of the gospel now? And if the best thing for the kingdom of God is for me to stay at this job for another year and to continue to impact these people I'm working with, then that's what he's going to do. Isn't that interesting? Let me help it become clear. I think the number one issue for us is that we struggle to see ourselves as missionaries. We have to embrace that call on our life. Reaching priority means that you and I, we are missionaries no matter where we stand. Geography is not the issue. It's an issue of the heart, that I've embraced the role in my life that God wants to use me on mission wherever I'm at. Can I just tell you, for some of you, that might mean you are going to go overseas. That maybe God is calling you to learn a foreign language and to go do business somewhere else or to go set up a ministry somewhere else. God may be using you to do that, but that is rare. The average person is going to live their life close to where they were born. And you know who? The first person who ever helped me to learn about Jesus was my best friend's mom. Just a stay-at-home mom who was raising her child, living in a community. And I would go over to her house to play with her son, and she would end up telling me about Jesus. The first person who ever got me reading a Bible on my own was my best friend's mom. Just a mom, a normal person in the community, living her life as a missionary in her community, as a missionary within the geography that God had placed her. I can tell you of people in my life that I've met in school, people at work, family members who have influenced me for the gospel. Some of the most powerful things that you can do is simply to live out a life in your community with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your family members, with your kids' friends, is to simply live your life on mission. And then you have to look for opportunities. You have to look and pray. Can I just give you a couple thoughts just as we get ready to close up this part of the message? Is that if the gospel has infiltrated your heart, if you understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sin, if you understand that he rose from the grave, and because of that, he's alive, and he calls us all to follow him. He is our Lord, which means he leads us. He will lead us into his mission. And we need to embrace his mission in our life. We can't fit it in as an add-on or say, yeah, well, I have my mission in life, and I'm going to sprinkle some Jesus in that. The number one issue for us is to say, I am going to be his missionary no matter where I stand. That's the number one issue. And then it's a matter of, well, what can we do? What's our next step? Can I say? I was thinking of just a few things. Number one is offer your life to the Lord. That's the number one thing, is to offer your life to the Lord and say, all right, God, I'm in. Use me. Use whatever chapter I'm on in my life. And you know, some people, you might be at the end of the book, right? You're on your last few chapters. You never know how much impact you might make. For some of you, you're at the beginning and you have your whole life in front of you. And many of us are in situations of influence that God wants to use us in. We have to offer ourselves to God. That's the number one thing. The second thing is that we need to pray that God will give us at least one person in our life that we can build a relationship with. We always talk about that. Who's your one? That, you know, who has God put in your life now that you can build a friendship with? And pray that God gives you an opportunity. And that's the last thing, is we need to look for opportunities to be ready to share the hope that is within us. And if you pray, God, use me, you pray, God, give me somebody, and you pray, God, give me opportunities, watch what happens in your life. It's the most powerful thing to watch God answer that prayer. If you're listening in today, and you've never made that decision to follow Christ, I want to lead you in a prayer to do that. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin, so that if you would believe in him, you wouldn't perish, but you'd have eternal life in Christ. Let's take a second just to pray. Wherever you're at, just kind of close your eyes, bow your head, and talk to God. For most of you listening, I'm sure you know the Lord. Just simply talk to him and say, God, show me what it means to surrender my life completely to you. And just say, God, will you please use me as a missionary wherever I stand? And if you're listening in and you've never made that decision, you simply say to God, God, I am sorry. I know that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross, and I know that he rose from the grave, but I also know that I've sinned. But I'm asking you, Jesus, to forgive me for my sin, And I'm calling on you, Jesus, to come into my life and to lead me. Will you be my Lord? Just simply pray that. Father, I'm asking that you help us all to live out our purpose in the way that you have called us to be. God, I pray that we would all have beautiful feet of being missionaries of the message and living in that priority. God, use our lives for your advantage and to advance the kingdom of God. We ask that in your son's name. Amen. Guys, let me give you just some encouragement. One of the easiest things that you and I can do is simply to invite people. We can invite people to a life group. We can invite people to our services. This is an easy way, for us to be on, to embody that core value of reaching priority. So I just want to encourage you to reach out to someone, invite them to a service or to life group this week. Today, I said earlier we were going to do communion together. Go ahead and grab your elements. I just want to talk about this for a second. On the night that Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, he got his disciples together and had the Last Supper. This was a supper that they would have traditionally known as the Passover, and he took bread and he broke it and he passed it around and said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you." Now he knew what was about to happen, but they didn't. He knew he was about to go to the cross and his body would be broken completely. And he was telling them, every time you eat this, I want you to remember what it is that I've done. Let's remember what Christ did on the cross together as we take this. That same night, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my blood, which has been shed for the forgiveness of all sins." And he says, "When you take this, I want you to remember what I've done." Now, you and I, on this side of the cross, we understand exactly what happened on the cross. And for all those who have given their faith and placed it in Jesus Christ, it's his blood that has washed away our sin. Let's remember that together as we take the cup. Lord, thank you so much for what you did on the cross. I pray that our hearts will always be consumed with what it is that you did for us. Lord, we love you. It's your son Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. If today is your day to follow Christ, click on the Next Steps button at lifepointohio.com/watch or on social media. If you will share a prayer request with us or want to begin a conversation about baptism, you can do that there as well. And if you are a guest, click on the guest info button in the same place. It takes less than a minute to fill out that guest card. There are four ministries listed on that card where we are already partnered with. And if you will choose one, we will make a $5 donation in your honor to that ministry so that you can do something good and kind just for watching today. If you are a regular tender or a member, I want to thank you so much for your generosity. As you give here, you help us reach the world. As we launch a new term of life groups today, one of our groups was part of collecting 10,000 pounds of clothing that was just sent to our missions partners in Malawi. And if you would like to give your tithes and offerings today, just click on the online giving button. Please take another moment and worship with us.